Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. First Saturday of spring 2019. By the way, did you see that supermoon? Wow, spectacular. I think it's like every 110 or 150 years you have a supermoon on the vernal equinox. Anyway, it's pretty cool. It reminds you of what's real in this increasingly fake world we live in. We're going to be starting our summer broadcast schedule. The times and all that kind of stuff will stay the same for everybody on stations and on Saturday podcasts and all that kind of stuff. However, I'm going to be shortening the shows. You know, they have been averaging about 2 hours over the last 4 months. There's just been so much news and so many things to talk about. But I'm going to limit it to about an hour from here on in till the fall schedule kicks in. You know, we're kind of like the TV series, you know, they got reruns and all that stuff. Except we're not going to have reruns. We're going to have up-to-date, fresh, stratospheric perspective stuff for you that nobody else is covering because nobody else covers it. And when they do cover it, they usually cover it 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months behind us. That's the way it is with On the Right Side Radio. So today is going to be our very first summer schedule show. And the format I'm going to be using is we're going to have one, we'll call it a major segment, relatively speaking, with all that you can do in an hour. And then we're going to have a whole bunch of other news. And where things really get out of hand, we'll dwell on those. But my purpose for you over the summer when you have less time to listen and, you know, the weather's starting to turn good and you got stuff to do, is to just get you as much information as I can. Tell you how to act on it, tell you where to find more if something really piques your interest. So this morning we're going to have a little story, another historical story, by the way, which I think you'll kind of grin at. And we're going to talk about our major segment's going to be civilizational jihad, as I promised last week. And I'm going to be referring you to a number of other shows I did. I'm going to try not, particularly on the summer schedule, to repeat stuff that's in other shows. And much of this stuff I have covered. I mean, I have reams of shows, and I'm going to tell you which ones they are, that you can go listen to at your leisure, which will give you the names, the dates, the details of the civilizational jihad, which began, well, it began back in Muhammad's time, actually. But it began in earnest in the United States in 1993. So we're going to cover that for a bit this morning. And then we're going to cover a whole bunch of other stuff. Guess what? The first lawsuit for reparations has been brought. We're going to talk about that. It's been a terrible, horrible, nasty week for the alt-left. Of course, nobody's talking about that because everybody's fixated on the Mueller report, which, as you know, late yesterday, 5 o'clock p.m. Last night, was delivered by Robert Mueller, dirty cop, to William Barr, the new AG. And, you know, I'm going to spend like 30 seconds on that. And that's it. Number one, you can hear, they're going to be talking about this crap for the next 3 weeks. It's just going to be a glittering distraction while all sorts of other stuff goes on, like huge military exercises between Russia and China. Gee, you think that's kind of important? How about the situation with the Yellow Jacket riots? And I mean, they're full-fledged riots. We're talking about 3,000-4,000 people have been killed or injured in them over the last 3 months. I mean, this is a huge deal in France. And it's in all the towns and cities. This is not localized. This isn't a couple hundred people. This is hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets literally every weekend. They've overwhelmed the police in France. They've now called in the military. And, of course, not a peep, not a word on American media. It's just unbelievable. This is This is populist uprising, literally, against a quasi-socialist government. This is Folks for Individual Rights, the Yellow Jackets, standing up to the globalist elites. And, of course, there is not a peep. But that's an important little thing that you need to know, and I'm going to try and cover that for you each and every week because that's a huge deal. Europe is breaking apart, folks. I've talked about that in previous shows. You have populist and separatist movements and violent stuff, not just in France, occurring with more and more frequency, with more and more violence, and with more and more people involved. And at the same time, the European economy is slipping, which is going to affect ours. And of course, not a peep. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Electoral College this morning. I'm going to give you some really fascinating facts and figures. And at the end of it, you'll understand why the Electoral College is absolutely critical to the cohesion of this country and representation under the representative republic that we are. We are not a democracy. Let me repeat that. We are not a democracy. That is mob rule. We are a representative republic. It's a really big difference. And it's one of the reasons we've been around for 230 years kicking butt. We are going to talk about, once again, another story nobody's covering. 20th Century Fox has been sold to Disney. And this is the majority of the Fox media empire has been sold to Disney. It does not include the sale of Fox News, Fox Sports, and a couple other Fox television type stuff has been retained by the Fox Corporation. But everything else related to Fox, including 20th Century Fox, you know, the big Hollywood deal, has been sold to Disney. And that's going to have some ramifications in terms of entertainment that you see, the message that's brought to you. Disney has left. Fox is at the high corporate levels in the middle. Obviously, at the Fox Business and Fox News levels to the right. Although I might say drifting left a little bit. And we're going to be talking about it's about 13 or 14 really hard blows the left took this week that nobody's talking about. These are major stories. All right. Well, without further ado, and by the way, next week, let me just tell you, if I forget or don't have time here at the end of this show, I'm going to have a really interesting show for you next week. I've been telling you that I was going to tell you some information about Soros, about the money behind these alt-left people that seemingly have come out of the mist. Well, let me tell you, nothing is an accident on the left. Obama was not an accident. He was chosen, groomed, financed, and prepped. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But AOC, you know, the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx, Tlaib, Omar, that whole crew, they were selected. And they have been financed, and they are coached, and they are like puppets on a string of very big masters. And I'm not just talking about Soros, who is the worst of the worst, but there are other nasty players, including Ukrainians, which, by the way, is another thing the media isn't covering virtually at all. It might interest you to know that one of Obama's and Clinton's top inner circle, like their counsel, is being indicted or being investigated for indictment. The indictment is pending for failing to register as a foreign agent for Ukraine. If you recall, Manafort, right, who was Trump's campaign director for 4 or 5 months, whatever it was, he got into trouble for the same stuff years before he was involved with Trump, but nonetheless. And that act is called FARA, F-A-R-A, Foreign Agent Registration Act. Well, what's come to light with this little tidbit, this surprise for the Obama administration, and by the way, I'm telling you, I've been telling you for a year and a half, while everybody else has been telling you, no, 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 there's a lot more indictments of Obama administration officials coming. You're going to see a bunch of these treasonous scumbags at the FBI and the DOJ go down. You may see Loretta Lynch, particularly with texts and stuff that have come out here in the last week and transcripts of depositions with Lisa Page, Baker, and others. You may see Loretta Lynch ensnared, and you know, it would be a great day. You might even see Barry ensnared, because in the end, Barry was the spider at the center of the web. The web is financed by Soros in his case, but Barry is the face. He's the spider that you see at the center of the web. Anyway, we'll see how high they get. We'll see how aggressive William Barr and hopefully his cleaned out legions, getting rid of the corrupt nastiness at the DOJ that Obama put in place as his deep state shadow government, beginning with Eric Holder. It's going to be interesting. The next 2 or 3 months is going to be really interesting as the worm turns on who is getting investigated and who is getting indicted. And that's all I'll say on that right now. Very briefly, the Mueller report. Look, you know, if you listen to radio or you listen to TV yesterday, or if you, I guarantee you over this weekend, every show on every channel is going to have all these talking heads on talking about the Mueller report. And, oh, there's no more indictments, and therefore Trump is clear. Or if you're on the other side, oh, the Mueller report, we need to see the whole thing and the underlying documents because who knows what he left out, and there's probably other nasty stuff. I mean, on and on. Here's the bottom line. Nobody knows what's in the Mueller report. Now, I'm sure somebody does, and I'm sure something's been leaked, and I'm sure somebody on Mueller's dog sled team of dirty Dems has said something to somebody. However, I am not going to waste your time or mine talking about something that nobody that we can rely on has seen, that we don't know what it says. And I will tell you one thing. No matter what it says, it could call Trump, you know, the angel of the universe, or you could call him the devil of the depths. All the pundits on all the various stations and all the various radio shows are going to be spouting their political spin about why this little nugget is bad and this little nugget is good and da da da. It's irrelevant. The only thing you need to know is that the Mueller report, as we knew all along, is not the end-all, be-all that the Democrats said it was going to be. In fact, it's simply going to be a catalyst, if in fact it doesn't do anything nasty to Trump politically. It's just going to be the catalyst for the Dems doing more. And the more the Dems do, the more they're going to lose the election in 2020. And I mean at the Senate level, at the House level, and at the presidential level. When you take the combination of the alt-left nonsense that all the top Dems are spewing, you know, from the new green $93 trillion deal to the killing babies after birth and then applauding the passage of the bill to Medicare for all. Now, remember, the Medicare folks at the government have said Medicare is going to go broke all by itself in 2034. But so we're going to add 80 million people who haven't paid into Medicare to Medicare, and this is all going to work out good. You bet. Yeah, okay. 2 plus 2 is 4, folks. Water runs downhill. So says the hayseed in Wyoming. And then, of course, all their other, you know, loony policies. Reparations. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Reparations. Yes, you know, 70 to 90% tax rates. Elimination of, this is a new one. You haven't even heard this. You'll hear it here shortly in the next few days. Elimination of the estate tax limitation, in other words, or exemption. Under the old tax law, if somebody in your family had a net worth of $5.2 million, I may be a little bit off, then that first $5.2 million in the will going out to the family was tax exempt. There was no estate tax, which, by the way, is 40 to 50%. I mean, this is a huge chunk of money on money which you've earned that you've already paid taxes on. It's like triple taxation. Under the new tax law, it's like $11.1 million. Under the new Democratic proposals, it's eliminated. I mean, if you die and you're worth 50 grand, I mean, that's all you have in the whole world. $5,000 checking, a $10,000 car, and $30,000 or whatever, $35,000 equity in your house, you're going to get taxed, or not you, your estate's going to get taxed on its inheritance. So that's the next Looney Tunes stuff you'll be hearing. And I can go on and on and on and on down the lift, down the list of left lunacy. And then, of course, you have Beto O'Rourke. Now, some of the stations are covering this nonsense. Some are not saying a word, of course, because he's right now the chosen one of the alt-left. And the one is, it appears that the corrupt apparatus of Barack Obama is putting all its bundlers and money behind. But Beto O'Rourke, it's come to light. I'm not making this up. So he has written poems. Now remember, he's not that old. He's in the late 40s, 50 years old. So in high school and college, he wrote poems talking about dreaming about running over children. I'm really not making this up. You can Google it, and I think the articles are on the website. He ate dirt. I'm talking about dirt, like off the ground. In New Mexico, because he thought it had spiritual powers, and brought some home and made his family eat it too. And he took a he took a dog or cat turd or something and fed it to his wife, telling her it was avocado. And of course, Beto, baby, you know, Beto O'Rourke, that's what I'm going to call him, Beto O'Rourke. If you watch this guy deliver his presentation with his arms flailing, I mean, definitely a screw loose. He's not doing anything for the Democratic image. I mean, yes, you know, 50% of the millennials may vote for him because he's a cool dude and he eats dirt, but he's not doing anything for the Democratic image. All right. I've kind of digressed a little bit, but those are all some points that I wanted to hit within the show, so we're doing quite well. Let's go to our story, shall we? Let's go to our story. It's a brief one, but you'll like it. So, 1902, right here in the good old USA, one of our most amazing inventors, whom you've never heard about, I almost guarantee you, his name was Nathan B. Stubblefield. He invented the radio. And you're all going to say, what do you mean? Marconi invented the radio. That's what I was taught. No. Nathan Stubblefield invented the radio. Marconi, as a point of historical correctness, was interested in the transmission of signals, not of voice. And Marconi was into wireless. And he was into Morse code and all that kind of stuff. Stubblefield, believe it or not, actually invented the radio in 1892. Think about that, 1892. You know, even though it wasn't known except in his local town because he would broadcast to the town, which was Murray, Kentucky, by the way. He broadcast both voice and music, by the way, beginning in 1892 to his little town. Marconi at that time, by the way, was still in grade school when Stubblefield had the radio going. But Stubblefield was scared to death somebody was going to steal his ideas. They were going to steal his invention. He wasn't going to get any credit, and therefore, from 1892 until 1908, he didn't unveil his radio invention. I mean, think about that. Think about inventing the radio and not telling the world about it for other than your local town for 16 years. Anyway, he finally got a patent. And he also owned the patent to put radios in automobiles. Wow, that was kind of clever. Because Henry Ford was just starting to mass produce automobiles. But he didn't do anything with the patent. He didn't do anything with his incredible world-changing invention. And in fact, and the motto of this story is, inventions and opportunity only matter if you take advantage of them, if you make them happen. he actually, others adopted his ideas, and they paid him a couple of cents on the dollar for to be able to use it and all that kind of stuff. He burned, listen to this now, he burned all the plans and prototypes of radio before he died of starvation, folks, of starvation in 1928. And he was buried literally in an unmarked grave. The guy who invented the radio, Nathan B. Stubblefield. It's an amazing story, and it's a sad story, but there's a lesson in the story. Okay? He who does not reach for and grab the brass ring shall see the ring disappear. All right, let's talk about reparations. I was the very first in media. Man, I was talking to you about this 2 years ago and beating the drums, and everybody thought I was crazy. You should have seen some of the emails I got. Well, now we have virtually all the major Democratic presidential candidates saying, yeah, reparations is like the next best thing to sliced bread. And the first lawsuit for reparations has now been brought. Ha! In fact, it was brought on March 20th. And the gal's name is Tamara Lanier. She's the plaintiff. And she filed a lawsuit against Harvard University. And she claims that pictures that Harvard has in its museum and that is used on the magazine covers of some of its cultural publications are her relatives, her slave relatives. The patriarch of her family, Renty, and Delia. And these pictures are from 1850. By the way, they were taken by a Swiss-American Harvard scientist, Louis Agassiz, who was a white supremacist. Okay, he also worked on glaciers, but that's besides the point. He was a white supremacist theorist who was a professor then at Harvard. Gee, those roles... That's the two extremes, right? Harvard is now next to Stalin, and at that time it was next to the KKK. Very interesting. Anyway, according to this lawsuit, Renty and Delia were forced to pose naked, quote, without consent, dignity, or compensation, as the professor sought to prove black people's inherent biological inferiority. Okay. By the way, however you pronounce her name, lives in Connecticut, which is the land of they're off the deep end. I mean, all you got to do is look at their senator, right, Blumenthal. God, he just wants to make you puke. Anyway, she's basing the whole suit on Harvard using Renty's image on a cover of a $40 per copy anthropology book, which Harvard Press published in 2017. And she wants to recover her photographs. She wants Harvard to give up all rights to the photographs, which is, playing upon slavery. And, of course, she wants unspecified monetary damages. I find it interesting that in the course of all this reparation talk, over the last literally 4 to 6 weeks, by Democratic candidates, there's now an active lawsuit in the United States of America for reparations related to slavery and slaves. Then we will get into, let's see here. Oh, Bernie Sanders. I've told you in many shows, and the left is great at coming up with warm fuzzies to cover the sinister true meanings of what they think and what they do and et cetera. Bernie Sanders has now relabeled socialism. You'll love this. Okay. Bernie Sanders now calls it vibrant democracy. Yeah, it's really pretty clever. But anyway, socialism is no longer socialism, folks. It's really vibrant democracy. And then, of course, we have the whole McCain thing. In the last week, it came out that Cramer, his kind of chief of staff, got hold of the dossier and distributed it to a whole bunch of news outlets. This is something that McCain, by the way, flatly denied. He didn't have the dossier. He didn't give it to any news total lie. John McCain lied. I find that rather interesting. And, of course, the news media and the deep state, which put McCain up to it, they gave him the dossier because they knew that he'd go out because he hated Trump. They were able to use the fact that a Republican senator of some stature, McCain, was out pushing the dossier. Therefore, the dossier must be true because John McCain was head of the Foreign Relations Committee and yada, yada, yada. I found that kind of interesting. In other words, what I told you about McCain beginning, three, four, 5 years ago, and that is, thank you for your service. We really appreciate it. And what the hell happened to you over the last 10 years is right on. One of the things we're going to talk about next week, in addition to the money and the puppeteers behind Tlaib and Omar and AOC and other of the alt-left puppets now in Congress, then we're going to talk about the possible, and I really hope it doesn't happen, and I'm not saying it's going to, but we're going to talk about a set of possible dominoes that could fall between now and the 2020 election, which would result, believe it or not, in the potential election of one of these left-wing goons that are running over on the Democratic side. And I'm going to tell you about it because the chances are against it, but it is possible. And not remotely possible. I don't think it's highly possible, but it's way more than remotely possible. How a series of dominoes, economic, political, geopolitical, could occur, which would mean Trump would lose the election. I'm going to tell you what you can do about it beginning now, because this is the time to act, folks. Not a month before the election, that's important too, but this is the time to act. All right. One of the things, and I'm going to cover it in much more depth next week, are the RINOs. The establishment Republicans, the Republicans in name only, the tepid, spineless, I mean, I don't know what to call them. They just disgust me. Mitt Romney, that whole crowd. The 12 Republicans, for instance, who voted against Trump's emergency declaration for the wall. Now, three or four of them were sincere. I happen to disagree with them completely, but like Mike Lee or Paul or Rand Paul, they believe it was against the Constitution. They are kind of taking a libertarian view. The president shouldn't have some. I mean, I get it. I think they're totally wrong. The president shouldn't have those kind of powers. However, the reality is he has those powers within the Constitution, and he has those powers specifically, including fences and barriers, to move money for fences and barriers. It's right in the law, in the 1976 Emergency Powers Act. So, you know, he's going to get the wall done, just as he promised. But it struck me, there was an article in, I believe, it was either the Wall Street Journal or WAPO. I did not have the producers post it. It was way too long. But it was a guy by the name of Gersten, who supposedly, you know, kind of like Bill Kristol and George Will and all those guys that you thought were real, like, you know, scholarly conservatives, and who turned out to be establishment, RINO, never Trumpers, who would have rather, incredibly, seen Hillary Clinton elected. Well, this guy's name is Gersten, very well known, same kind of ilk and level as Will and Billy Kristol and all these pseudo-conservatives, as they've turned out to be. And Gersten wrote this WAPO and or Wall Street, it doesn't really matter, op-ed. It just came out, I believe, on Wednesday. And he was talking about how nasty Trump was, how horrible he was, how the Republican Party, with Trump at the head of it, had lost its, quote, moral high ground, unquote, and how it had been diverted from its quest, I'm not making this up, for its quest for, quote, social justice, unquote. Really? This is a Republican conservative talking about the Republican Party is for social justice? That should give you a clue right there. And then he wrote, Oh, what was this other great? I mean, I read the article with my mouth open. I mean, this guy is a Republican conservative. Oh, compassionate conservatism. In other words, kumbaya. Let's reach across the aisle. Let's compromise. Let's tone down our conservative principles to allow the living, breathing democratic masses to exist, so that they feel like they've won, so that they feel like it's fair. I mean, the article was unbelievable. But the rhinos, folks, the rhinos have to be watched, and the rhinos have to, they got to be gone. There is no room in the Republican Party. There is no room under the conservative flag for these establishment, global, spineless weasels, which is what they are. I mean, they're just weasels. They're literally willing to throw the country under the bus because they don't like Trump, the human being. I mean, I couldn't care less about Trump, the human being. Trump could have like five horns growing out of his head and a forked tail coming out of his pants. As long as he does what he says he's going to do, and as long as he sticks to the policies that he promised, and he's done both, despite incredible odds, he's my man. I mean, I couldn't care less about anything else. That's called, in my book, being an American. Country first. And if it takes, even in your mind, the devil to make country first, you make country first. So we'll be talking about that next week. So let's talk a little bit about the really, really, really bad week that the alt-left and the Democrats had, which, of course, nobody's talking about, right? Except for a few glittering objects like the Mueller report here and there, without even knowing what's in it. First of all, two big wins for Trump at the Supreme Court. Two big wins for America, actually. The Supreme Court voted 5-4, and, you know, folks, we need another conservative justice on that court. 5-4 is, like, really cutting it close. All you need is, like, one conservative justice to die or get murdered, like Scalia, I'm quite sure, was, and a Democratic president, and suddenly you got a 5-4 court the other way. I mean, it's not a big margin. But they voted 5-4 that, yes, ICE can detain criminal aliens. They don't have to let them go. Literally, the law was, up to the time of this ruling, or the law was interpreted by left-wing judges that Obama appointed, is that even if it was a criminal alien, you could only hold them for a very short specified amount of time. Now you can hold them and deport them without regards to time. That's a really, really big deal. And the second thing is, there were three illegal aliens of the, you know, however many tens of millions that we have. The Supreme Court's going to hear this case. They granted it cert. This is a really big deal. There was a 2017 ruling by the Kansas Supreme Court, and it voided the convictions of three illegal aliens who were restaurant workers, who had stolen Social Security numbers. In other words, they had stolen Americans' Social Security numbers so that these illegal aliens could illegally work at these restaurants. The Kansas Supreme Court, which is actually pretty liberal, believe it or not, because most of the appointments were by the occasional Kansas Democratic governor, the Kansas Supreme Court ruled that you couldn't prosecute them. Well, the Supreme Court obviously has a different idea, because that was appealed, and the Supreme Court has granted it cert. And by the way, the law is quite clear. Let me throw out something for you to think about really quickly. First of all, the left is saying there's only 11 million illegal aliens in the United States. That's with a million a year coming over since like 1986. So, you know, do the math. Secondly, the study, and I've told you about this here over the last 4 or 5 weeks, which was by, I think it was Harvard. It was like one of the big left-wing universities and another very well-known outfit. They estimated 22.5 million illegal aliens in the United States. I personally think the number is probably higher, but nobody really knows. There's been 39 million That's 39 million Social Security numbers of American citizens stolen over the last half a decade. That's 5 years. 39 million. Now, you know, I'm just a poor old hayseed from Wyoming, but if there's only 11 million illegal aliens or 22 million illegal aliens, why would they need to steal 39 million Social Security numbers? Let me think about this. Oh, maybe there's more than 22 million illegal aliens. Anyway, I'm digressing. The Supreme Court is going to hear this case. And basically, I believe it's going to rule, and this is going to be a really big deal, that illegal aliens with stolen Social Security numbers may be prosecuted under federal law for a felony. That's a really big deal. Because many illegal aliens, well, virtually all, unless they're in gangs, have to work somewhere. Or at least do something enough to get their welfare and other American taxpayer funding. And without Social Security numbers, that's going to be virtually impossible. So that's a big deal that's coming up and a big win for Trump and a big loss for the left this week. And then we have, then we have, there's a company called NXIVM. And believe it or not, although the press hasn't covered this at all, this is a huge indictment case. And the people that are, I mean, these are really big names, very wealthy people, all Democrats, all Democratic donors, all Democratic power brokers, Nancy Saltzman, Keith Raniere. And this is all about sex trafficking and child pornography, child rape, pedophile stuff. I mean, this is a really big deal. This case is as big as the one that you've heard about, if you've had the news on at all, on the admissions scandal, where parents have been lying. You know, once again, all Democrats, all higher-ups, all big Democratic donors. I mean, this is all left-wing people getting ensnared in these sex and sex trafficking rings and these corrupt college admission rings. And facts are now coming out. This is another really bad thing for the left this week. Facts are now coming out about the Electoral College. I mean, obviously, the left wants to do whatever it can do to grab power again and have it forever. I mean, they don't care if your vote, they don't care if you vote or you don't, folks. They couldn't care less. Because they plan, as far as they're concerned, you don't exist, and if you exist, you shouldn't exist. And they're just going to replace you with illegal aliens and felons and all sorts of other, and voter fraud, just rampant voter fraud, manufacturer votes. I mean, you just don't count. But the Electoral College, which these Democratic pretenders to be candidates to the presidency of the United States, they don't even know their civics. I mean, it's in one way, when they talk to the cameras about why the Electoral College needs to go away, they're lying their butts off like they do. But in another way, it's quite apparent they really don't get it. They don't understand how it came about or why. The Electoral College, and this is all part of what went bad for this week, but the Republicans and the right are doing a really good job in the Electoral College. The Electoral College originated, without the Electoral College, the Constitution would have never been signed by the southern states. And not because they were South, and not because they were slavery, and not because of all the nonsense the left spews, but because the Southern states knew they had way less population than the Northern states, and they didn't want their lives controlled by the North in every single respect, including the presidency. By the way, Abraham Lincoln lost the popular vote and was elected by the Electoral College. So when the left stands up and down and says the Electoral College is racist, you might ask your lefty buddy or lefty girlfriend or lefty boyfriend or whatever you got going. You might ask him, well, gee, I think Lincoln got slavery thrown out the window. and 700,000 Americans died to do it. And if you're telling me the Electoral College is racist, and the Electoral College is why Lincoln was elected, and Lincoln is the reason slavery is gone, what are you telling me? I'm sure they won't be able to answer that question. What's coming, what was true then is true today, just in a different context. Back then it was the North had the population, the South did not. And the Electoral College equaled the opportunity for the Southern states to have a shot at electing a president. Now it is the coasts and the big cities which have the population, and it is the vast interior of the country which does not. But it's the same exact situation. Let me give you some, this is really pretty amazing. There are 3,141 counties in the United States. Donald Trump, in 2016, won 3,084 of those 3,141 counties. Clinton won only 57 counties, folks, out of 3,141 counties in the country. There are 62 counties in New York State. Trump won 46. Think about this now. You always think about New York as blue. Well, let me tell you, only New York City and its environs are blue, and a couple of other population centers. Trump won 46 of the 62 counties in the blue state of New York. Clinton won 16 counties. Clinton won the popular vote, not counting voter fraud and all the other stuff that we know went on, by approximately 1.5 million votes. That's actually about, this is their facts are a little off, it's about 2 million votes. In the five counties that encompass New York City, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Richmond, and Queens. Oh, the Bronx? You mean like the Bug-Eye Bay from the Bronx? Yeah, that Bronx. Clinton received 2 million more votes than Trump, just in those five counties, folks. By the way, you can look at the L.A. counties. It was the same type of deal. Clinton, by the way, only won four of those, even she didn't even win all five of those counties. She only won four of them. Trump won Richmond County, which is, it's part of the city, but it's a little bit further out. So these five counties alone, New York City, basically, more than accounted for Clinton winning the popular vote of the entire country. You could also say the same thing about L.A. The same, almost identical situation occurred in L.A. Clinton did not win all the counties, but Clinton won about 2 million more votes than Trump did within the L.A. Metropolitan County area, if you will. I mean, those two, those 10 counties, one, five in New York and five in L.A., was 4 million votes more for Clinton than for Trump. Just two cities, actually a portion of two cities. Those five counties in New York, and by the way, the LA counties are smaller. Those five counties in New York comprise 319 square miles of land. The United States is comprised of 3,797,000 square miles of land. So, to put this in perspective for you, and to emphasize how important the Electoral College is to a representative republic, not a democracy, a representative republic, and how important the Electoral College is to the huge predominance of land area, production area, food area, you name it, of this country. In a country that encompasses almost 4 million square miles of territory, literally, if there was no Electoral College, 319 square miles would have decided the election. In a country of 3,141 counties, four counties would have decided the election without the Electoral College. So, I can't think of a better demonstration to you of how critical it is the Electoral College stay around and how critical the Democrats think it is that it go away for obvious reasons. particularly since they're packing the city with bona fide welfare receiving, stolen Social Security carrying, and driver license issued illegal aliens, as both the mayor of L.A. and the mayor of New York, Comrade de Blasio, continue to extend invitations to, shall we say. The other things that happened this week, which were really, really bad for the left. Oh, a New York grand jury subpoenaed two smartphone makers because it comes out, first of all, Facebook had a really bad week, and that's good for the right and bad for the left, because Facebook is like alt left. And there were several whistleblowers that came out in Facebook talking about, and basically Zuckerberg lied to Congress, talking about how Facebook is changing the algorithms for conservative sites and conservative pages. All right. The other thing that came out, this we're going to talk about this next week in depth because I'm putting more stuff. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, our bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. The real brains behind her are a guy by the name of Alexandra Rojas. He's the executive director for an outfit called Justice Democrats, who actually, this is no kidding now, auditioned 10,000 potential people to run for that congressional seat. They were looking for just the right person, just the right puppet. I'm going to tell you, the fact that this is even coming out, and by the way, there's been four ethics probes now launched against the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx, and several against Omar, the rabid anti-Semite from Minnesota. So not a great week there for the left. And then Lisa Page's, Lisa Page struck the corrupt FBI lovebirds. So her transcripts got released, and it indicated, well, more than indicated, it was black and white, the Obama administration's role, direct role, in letting Hillary Clinton off the hook for her server, her mishandling of classified information, and her obstruction of justice and perjury. You're going to see way more of this, way more. I already talked about McCain's role in, we'll call it Spygate, with a dossier. That was not great, by the way, for the left this week. And there was a federal court. Here's another one. Federal court is going to unseal the documents in the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking operation. Remember Epstein, the disgraced, huge, Democratic mega donor? Well, it seems that he got hammered, nobody even knew about this, back in 2008 for the same scummy, perverted activity. And, of course, all his Democratic friends covered for him in return for his bundling and huge contributions. But the plea deal, which was made with, imagine this, a Clinton-appointed judge. What an amazing. And who did he give most of his money to? Oh, yeah, the Clintons. Must be a coincidence. But there was a plea deal where all his records were sealed. Nobody knew what happened. He got 13 months slap on the wrist probation for, sex trafficking and sex with 13-year-old girls and all sorts of stuff. That's now all getting unsealed in prep for his new upcoming really nasty trial. Andrew Weissman, the pit bull, the corrupt pit bull in the Mueller investigation, who was reversed twice by the Supreme Court, 9-0, who was found liable for withholding evidence from defendant, all sorts of stuff. He left the Mueller investigation. That I talked about this last week, and I told you the Mueller investigation's over. And the reason Weissman is leaving is that Weissman is going to be one of those targets of the new Barr Justice Department. And that's because he knew all about the dossier being false. But that is a topic for another day. And then, of course, we had the Mueller deal. By the way, this is really interesting. So there's a book being sold on Amazon. It's called The Mueller Report, and it's authored by, you guessed it, Robert S. Mueller III. And the prologue is written by Alan Dershowitz. The Democrats are arguing for release of the report. Nobody's seen it. We don't know how much Barr is going to release. We don't know what's going to be classified, sources and uses, all that kind of stuff, redacted, grand jury, whatever. And Mueller already has a book being sold on Amazon. Wow. That kind of tells you a little something, doesn't it? More folks, another bad thing for the left this week, more folks charged or indicted in the college admission payoff scheme. I mean, now they're getting like way high into the Hollywood ranks and Napa Valley winery ranks. I mean, like the creme de la creme of the Democratic elite. So that's kind of cool. And then we found out that Paul Ryan, Rhino, right? We were just talking about rhinos. Paul Ryan, who lied to Trump and specifically whose fault it is that the wall is not under construction, that we're wasting any time on the wall right now. This thing should have been funded and half built. We also find out now that he blocked subpoenas that House Republicans on the Intel and Judiciary Committees wanted to issue to top Democrats on the whole Clinton server investigation dossier scandal. I mean, wow, Paul, like, really? I mean, are you that, like, bosom buddies with Mitt Romney? Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, we have the embarrassment of Shifty Shift and disgusting Swalwell and, you know, all the Democratic ilk who've been telling us how they had the proof and, yeah, he's going to be indicted. And, you know, now they're you know, now they're eating crow and they're trying to divert with, you know, what color underwear did Trump wear in the 12th grade? We need to subpoena that information. This was not a good week. Not a good week. Then another Democrat, former defense intelligence officer, who came into the Defense Intelligence Agency under Obama. He pled guilty a week ago Friday, the 15th, for attempted transmission of national defense information to the People's Republic of China. Terrific. In fact, he was paid $800,000 by China. He got him some information, but was nabbed before he could get him the rest. Of course, nobody's talking about it. By the way, there's a new thing. There's a new thing here. Did you know that air pollution, in addition to the Green New Deal and all that kind of stuff, air pollution is racist, folks. Racist, yes. And the whole theory here of the left is that whites cause air pollution and blacks and Hispanics have to breathe it. I'm not making this up. Google it up, folks. Google it up. It's unbelievable. By the way, de Blasio, we were talking about him in New York. He just did an edict. You remember when Bloomberg said you can't have straws, you can't have big soda cups and all that stuff? Well, de Blasio is going one better. He now has edicted. He has now commanded from his alt-left exalted ruler position in his city that smells like garbage where subways don't run, that's going down the tube with a $2.3 billion deficit. He has now commanded that at all schools in New York, Mondays shall be meatless. No meat on Mondays. Man, we're doing our part to stop that cow fart stuff and save the planet. All right. Now for our major segment, so to speak. Civilizational jihad. Look, I've done a number of shows, and I name names, I take no prisoners, so to speak, And I'm going to give those to you right now. I'm going to call them up on the computer. If you have not listened to them, you probably should. Civilizational jihad is a clear and present danger to the United States and to the Constitution. Sharia law, first, Muslims are in two groups. There are Muslims or, should we say, people of Islam, and they are, you know, they're Americans who happen to be Muslim. And then there are Islamists. Barack Obama was an Islamist. Valerie Jarrett, his Tehran, Iran-born best buddy, closest advisor, sidekick, is an Islamist. Michelle Obama is an Islamist. Their friend, Louis Farrakhan, is an Islamist. The folks who are in ISIS are Islamists. The folks who are in Al-Qaeda are Islamists. You kind of get the scoop here. These are the shows that I've done with really a lot of detail, okay? And I suggest you listen to them. They give you a lot of information. This morning, I'm hitting just kind of the broad brush because it's important for you to understand how the goal of taking over the United States or any Western country, imposing Sharia law, getting Muslim control, and even with a small minority, converting a country to Islamist, is taking hold here. I mean, they're being successful. And they are in lockstep. They are in concert with left-wing, well, not left-wing, that's the mainstream. Mainstream media and the Democratic Party, as you can probably tell by who got elected in the Democratic Party. December 1, 2018. Civilizational jihad, the Muslims elected in 2016. You know, that'll scare you. I mean, this is not just one or two folks. This is scores and scores and scores of judges and Congress people, ladies, men, whatever, governors, people in high positions, Keith Ellison, Attorney General in Minnesota, which, by the way, is where Omar is from. Another one, Muslim immigration, 1 million. And that was June 18th, 2016. You can find these right on the website, on therightsideradio.com, folks. Just go there. And in the search bar up in the upper left, it's really good. It's really good. Just type in Muslim. These will all come up. Your taxes funding terrorism and Muslim Brotherhood in the White House. This is March 26th, 2016. Then on March 12th, 2016, Muslim Brotherhood battle lines. And then on December 12th, 2015, ISIS land grabbed uncontained, what they forgot to mention. And then November 21st, 2015, the dots of jihad and the dots of Obama and Cruz Muslim sympathies. You listen to those shows, and they will fill in the details of the bigger picture I am telling you this morning. I'm not going to repeat all the stuff that's in those shows. We don't have the time on our summer schedule. So in 1993, the FBI raided a house in New Jersey, terror, Muslim, etc. It kind of stemmed. They got their lead because of the World Trade Center and some other stuff that was going on. They found these documents official documents. And it was a white paper, which was the plan for turning America into a Muslim country through civilizational jihad. Since that time, since about 1996, and accelerating dramatically under Obama, gee, big surprise, 97% of the refugees, I'm not counting the last year with the southern border, of the refugees coming to the United States, 97% are Muslim. 97%. Only 3% are Christian, despite the fact you know what's happening to Christians in the Mideast. These refugees have been primarily from Africa and the Mideast. And once those refugees are here and have legal status as a refugee, guess what? They can invoke chain migration. You know what that is. You can bring over your brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandfather, you name it. I mean, the average legal, illegal alien brings over around 20 family members through chain migration. In addition, the visa lottery, you've heard about that. It's 50 to 60,000 people a year. I mean, that's not a lot. But, you know, over 20 years, that's a million people. Guess what? The huge majority, we're talking about like in the 90 percentile. The visa lottery is resulting in immigrants from, the Mideast and Africa. In addition, because basically the Quran commands it, Muslims are prolific in producing offspring. Their breeding is outbreeding native-born Americans or Christians or any other religion or any other or people of any other origin in the United States between 3 and 4 to 1. So if you take all those stats put together, you suddenly have gone from very few Muslims in the United States in the very early 90s two, and once again, nobody has a fair tab on them, and it doesn't include those who are here illegally that we don't know about, to around 4 million, give or take, Muslims in the United States now. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot in a country with 350 million. However, as part of the civilizational jihad, and this is, it's unfolding exactly as the white paper instructed and planned and diagrammed, all these refugees and all these visa lottery folks, and all these Muslim immigrants of any type, all congregate in certain areas. Like Dearborn, Michigan. Oh, that's where the Muslim Congress lady Tlaib was elected. Or in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or some of the districts in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, which has the largest Somali population in the United States, and which is where elected Omar. So you see how this works. And when you get enough Muslims in an area, they establish a mosque. And as I've talked about on previous shows, the mosque becomes the what's called the beehive in the white papers. It is the central point from which all the bees spread out, spreading the pollen, so to speak. Spreading the pollen. And of course you have Obama as an Islamist who put this whole civilizational jihad on steroids. And additionally, working with alt-left folks in Europe and globalists, created, and I'm convinced of this, created the crisis in Syria, never giving a damn that 500,000 people died, and created the greatest refugee problem that the world has seen since World War II. And, of course, Europe opened its doors to them, and we know what's going on there. Civilizational jihad. I mean, it's like letting the Trojan horse into Troy. And as part of the civilizational jihad, there is this intense hatred and contempt for Jews and for Israel. And you're seeing that manifested now with Omar and Tlaib and AOC, you know. The bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. We saw it with Obama, where he actually spent U.S. taxpayer dollars illegally to try and unseat Netanyahu. We see it right now with the alt-left in Israel trying to get rid of Netanyahu. The elections are coming up next month. Let's hope he wins. So this is all part of a this is part of a plan, folks. You know, Obama's support of Iran, the Iran deal, which basically allowed Iran to get a nuke, the whole BDS movement, which Omar promotes and Tlaib promotes and other increasingly growing numbers of Democrats promote. Remember, the Democrats could not even put together enough votes for a resolution condemning Omar's anti-Semitic statements. That's how anti-Israel, anti-Jew, the Democratic Party has begun. That is a symbol of the growing influence of Islamists in the Democratic Party. It's exactly what I told you was happening almost 2 years ago. And there's another show, I didn't give it to you when I gave you that list of Muslim shows. Type in Unholy Alliance, and I will thread the needle for you all the way through on how the alt-left and Islamists, radical Islam, have joined hands against a common enemy, which is the Constitution, Christian faith, and American citizens, and freedom, I might add. It's all part of a deal. It's all part of a plan. And you're seeing this indoctrination spread. This is part of the white paper also in our schools. You're seeing this indoctrination spread through CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood, which should be they're designated terrorist organizations in other countries, but not here. That's because of their growing influence on Capitol Hill and because of their lavish lobbying and dollar spending. And you're seeing indoctrination in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and colleges that Islam is fine and Sharia law is cool. It's kind of like the same indoctrination you've seen for socialism. And once again, it is an unholy alliance of indoctrination that's occurring in academia. And at the same time, you see a concerted effort to shut down any criticism or any reporting of the facts like I'm giving you here this morning that could be considered in any way, shape, or form adverse to Islam. You're an Islamophobic. You're this, you're that, you're that. In the European countries, it's gotten so bad that literally for saying anything that is anti-Muslim, for speaking your opinion, for even mentioning that there was an example in Britain. This is just a few months ago. This British correspondent was reporting on a gang rape by Muslims of an English woman. He was arrested. He was thrown in jail by the British government for reporting. He was just stating the facts. There was this gal, and three Muslims raped her, and they were all refugees from wherever they were from, Lebanon, Syria, it doesn't matter. The same thing has happened in France. The same thing happened in the United States. Think about this poor guy who did this video making fun of Allah that Clinton and Susan Rice, gag me, Susan Rice, if it's possible, the biggest liar on the left. The second biggest. The biggest one is Obama. And Obama, they blamed this guy's video making fun of Allah for Americans dying in Benghazi. Remember that? The guy's still in jail, folks. This is a really scary deal. It is a direct attack on the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution, our children's minds. And let me tell you, they're being successful. The white paper called for, by the way, by the year 2030, for 88 members of Congress, senators and congresspeople, to be Muslim. Right now, I believe there's four. The two that you know the best, of course, are two that just got elected, Omar and Tlaib. But, folks, other than Keith Ellison, who actually got elected, to Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. Gee, I'm sure he's going to do some great stuff there. There were none. I mean, this is very rapid gains. This is very rapid, very smooth, under the radar, all the right buttons being pushed, all the voices that might speak up against it or bring it to people's attention being silenced. This is dangerous. This is really dangerous. You take a look at Europe and what's going on over there. Just Google it up. Finland, Muslim. Sweden, Muslim. French, Muslim. England, Muslims. Just Google it up. Read the articles. And what they are really advanced in getting done over there is exactly what they want to get done here. And let me tell you, there were, I forget exactly, I gave you the show there on how many Muslims were elected to various positions at the federal, state, and local levels and at judgeships around the country in 2016. It was like 80. 80 people in positions of power. And listen, I don't know every one of them. Some of them could be Muslims, Americans who happen to be of Muslim faith, believe in the Constitution, etc. But I'll flat guarantee you that a fair percentage of them, if not the majority, are Islamists, believers in Sharia law, not the Constitution, believers in a male-dominant society, not women equal rights. And I can go on. All right. That, folks, is the show for the first Saturday in spring of 2019. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you like our switch over to the new summer format, which is an annual tradition. And by the way, I'm going to have some really good news. We have firm release dates for the next three books of the Threads West series. If you are, we're going to be sending out blogs here shortly. Go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/ThreadsWest. Throw us a like. You'll be able to read about stuff there. Go to the website, www.threadswestseries.com. Sign up. Takes you 5 seconds. You can reserve. You don't have to spend a penny. Reserve books 4 and 5 there. It's all explained for you. Very easy to do. And you'll be updated periodically. And I mean, they don't send out a lot of stuff. Those are the only, let me emphasize this, they're the only accurate sources of information. The books are not out. If you see book 4, Mocks and Tracks, on Amazon, it ain't ours. It's a scam. So, anyway, news coming your way on the specific release dates for those three books very shortly. Get signed up at one or both of those information sources. In the meantime, you have the first great full week of spring. And we'll talk to you next week. Read Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Read Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.